Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today's show, we're going to hear from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and talk about the volunteers there and the patient experience and get an update from the AUSA here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Celebration of all those who have served and continue to serve our nation with honor and distinction. Each year, we pay tribute to American veterans for their devotion, patriotism, selfless service, and sacrifice on behalf of all of us. Their loyalty to our country and their great courage have made us what we are today and what we've been for more than two centuries, a beacon of hope in an increasingly complex world. We say thank you not only to them, but also to their families, for they too have sacrificed. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, please join me in wishing a happy Veterans Day to those who have served and those who continue to serve this great nation.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me today as co-host of the program is Jason Burley. And Jason, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be here, as always.
Are you ready to hear some amazing stories and information about the Minneapolis VA healthcare system?
I am incredibly intrigued to learn more about the experience and what Rachel has to tell us as well, and to learn more about what we're going to talk about in terms of community service. So Let's get going.
Very good. Rachel Hammer has been the Director of Voluntary Service Community Resource Services at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System since September 2021. Rachel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Rachel, I understand you come from a military family.
I do, yes. My father is a veteran, and he receives his health care at the Minneapolis VA, as well as my other family members, uncles, etc.
And what drew you to go out and go to work at the Minneapolis VA? Was it because you wanted to help veterans?
Sure, yes. I actually started out at the Minneapolis VA as the canteen chief about 5 years ago.
That sounds like fun.
Yes, it was very fun. Yeah, I had a passion for customer service, and that's how I started out there.
And I bet the veterans were appreciative that you were able to take care of them.
Yes, it was a very fun experience. I did the retail store, the canteen, Starbucks, and many of those veterans now see me interacting in voluntary service. So it's great to see the same faces and veteran service organizations. So
it took you a while to work up into your present position. And can you tell us about that quickly?
Sure. In the position that I'm in now, I oversee the voluntary service program. And that covers not only the VA Medical Center, but also Greater Minnesota and Western Wisconsin, the Veterans Service Centers, and then also the community-based outpatient clinics. So all the volunteers there, as well as the Fisher House Program, Recreation Therapy, and the patient lodging programs.
Rachel, Director Pat Kelly at the Minneapolis VA has told me many times over the years that without the wonderful volunteers out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, you probably couldn't operate.
I would definitely agree with anything the director said, but I do agree with that wholeheartedly. I would say that our volunteers, currently we have 722 that are active, and in this last year alone, they put in 97,000 hours of volunteer hours. And that was a variety of positions that they held, driving patients to their appointments, as well as patient transport. Our volunteers out at the Memorial Rifle Squad at Fort Snelling, and just our patients within the hospital, but also out in the clinics as volunteers as well. And they do a great service to our hospital and incredible service that we are able to be providing.
So, Rachel, you said over 700 volunteers. You must have shifts 24 hours a day that need volunteers to be there to maybe help veterans in and out of the facility and to maybe push the wheelchairs around and get them to their next appointment.
In a sense, yes. Shifts are expanding and are covering a variety of days and shifts, and they go from all the way from Twin Ports, our drivers do, all the way down to Rochester, Minnesota. And in the case of our county drivers and our DAV drivers, without them, it would be a huge barrier of access to care. So that program is incredibly important. And then within the hospital are patients that are transported from appointment to appointment, patients that are not ambulatory. Having that volunteer to do that is really important in order to get them from appointment to appointment in a timely manner.
We're speaking with Rachel Hammer from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Rachel, I've got to believe that over the last year and a half of the pandemic, things have been a little difficult out there. There's been restricted access to the hospital, but still every time I go and I'm a patient there, I see the volunteers there every single time.
Sure, yes. Right now we are at our greatest strength since the beginning of COVID. The beginning, during that time of uncertainty, there were several that needed to take a time to take a break. And we certainly understood that it was uncertain for all. And many needed to be with their families and, be taking care of their health. And that was okay. And we welcomed them back wholeheartedly when they felt that they were able to be safe. And, of course, when the vaccine came, that made a huge difference. But at this point, our volunteers that have returned, we trained them on the new processes because for those that had taken a pause and now are back, it would be a big shock. All of us were familiar with utilizing PPE and all of the new standards. And so we made sure our volunteers, had that opportunity to receive that training as well.
Rachel, when you talk about that, clearly everybody is not in a post-pandemic mode. And there's other volunteer opportunities. I'm really intrigued about the Compassionate Contact Corps and a virtual position. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, and you bring up a great point about that. The virtual position actually came up from COVID. This is not something that we previously had, and it was an opportunity to address those patients that were perhaps shut in, that were perhaps in need of another form of communication with those on the outside. So this is a way to set up a veteran volunteer or a volunteer in order to contact the patient and give them an opportunity to have a connection and establish that ongoing communication so that that patient has that relationship.
So, Rachel, with the VA kind of returning to normal or on its path to normal, you're looking for some new volunteers.
Oh, yes, we are certainly. Both volunteers and, of course, donations are something we are continuing to look for. For the volunteers, drivers is one that we continue to look for. The way that we primarily do our recruiting is on volunteermatch.org. All of our positions can be located on there. Alternately, people can find our other positions on the VA website, minneapolis.va.org.
Very good. Now, Rachel, you mentioned you're looking for volunteers and donations. Who do you partner with in the community and go after donations? What kind of things do you need?
So we really could partner with anybody, veteran service organization or, a small business or Fortune 500. Anybody that was wishing to partner with the VA, with wanting to help a veteran, they can do that. They just need to connect with us and we'll help guide them through that process. We are looking for monetary donations, which can then be utilized in a variety of different ways to help our veterans, but also in-kind donations, and that can be anything from new clothing to the items such as patriotic quilts or hygiene items. So
there are some things beyond the VA budget that you'd like to provide for the veterans that are at the hospital or out at the medical center, and if you can get donations of those items, that'd help. And if people just want to give you some monetary donations, then you can use that to buy those extra items that you need.
Yes, of course.
All right, final question. How do our listeners get in touch with you if they want to donate some items or materials or to monetarily donate or volunteer?
Yes. So besides the option for volunteering I already mentioned, you can also call our office at 612-467-2050, or you can email us at vhaminvol@va.gov.
Or for anybody who didn't get that, just go to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center website and look up volunteers and all that information is probably there.
Exactly.
Rachel, I'd like to thank you for joining us today and telling us about the volunteer services. Keep up that fun job and make sure Director Kelly's got all the volunteers they need. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Jason, we're going to be back in a little bit in the second segment. Here we're going to talk about the patient experience out at the VA Medical Center. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today is Jason Burley. Jason, that was pretty interesting in that first segment. They have a lot of volunteers out at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
Incredible amount of volunteer activity.
And now we're going to learn a little bit about the patient experience, because joining us now is Mandy Smoot, who is the Associate Director, Chief Experience Officer of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Mandy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Mandy, I understand that you're a wife of a veteran and grew up on a Navy base.
I did. My husband was in Iraq in 04, 05, but I also grew up on China Lake Civilian Naval Base out in the middle of the desert.
Now, that sounds interesting, but that's for another show. A Navy base in the middle of the desert. Mm-hmm. How did you get to the Minneapolis VA healthcare system?
So I actually came to Minneapolis VA straight out of school. I did an internship here with veterans with head injuries and decided that I loved it and came to stay here and have been here for just about 16 years.
16 years. And now, as we said earlier, you're the Associate Director, Chief Experience Officer, Minneapolis VA. And can you tell me, for our veterans, what is the patient experience there?
Yeah, so we actually have an official definition that I quite love, and we define our veterans' experience as is the sum of all of the interactions that are shaped by our culture that influence the veterans and their families' perceptions along the healthcare journey. So really it means it's all the things that they come in contact with when they're getting ready to come to our healthcare system, while they're in their healthcare system, and after they leave our site. So I pay attention to the health of our organization as a whole, the human aspects of our care, the way our veterans are experiencing their care, how our staff are feeling, and paying attention in general to the culture of our organization and how it impacts how they all get their care here.
Mandy, I would think that the Chief Experience Officer is a fairly new position. How long has this been in place in the VA?
So we're the first, actually. Minneapolis VA was the first to have a chief experience officer who was placed in the executive team role. And I think that was just about 5 years ago. And now there's one other site who has one that is also built into our executive teams. But all across the country, VAs are getting patient experience officers who may not be at the associate director role, but have a strong impact on how all of our sites are being experienced. So we have kind of visiting cohorts that work together and patient experience officers at each site to coordinate care.
I would believe that all members of the VA and everyone that chooses to work in the VA system truly cares about the veteran experience. Mm. Why is it important that the VA appointed a chief experience officer or decided that this was an important idea to advance?
So, you know, one of the things that I think we are most benefited by being VA, like you said, is that we all have a common mission. We're all here to serve veterans who have served, and we can call on that kind of mission focus to always do better. But what's really important, especially in the climate that we have now, is our veterans have choice in where they go for care, and we here in the Minneapolis VA have specialty-trained providers who are targeted towards our veterans' health care, and we want them to choose us. We know they can go other places, but we want them to choose us. We want them to trust us to provide their care, and we want to earn that for them. We want this to feel like their VA. They have earned the right to be here with us caring for them. So it's important for us to have the CXO role so that we can be paying attention to what we call our voice of the veteran. So we have lots of different tools in which we measure what they're saying to us and sharing with us, and it's my job to really pay attention to that and make sure that it's integrated in all of our decisions that we make operationally. So it's keeping the veteran's voice kind of front and center and making sure that we don't get so stuck kind of in a business model that we forget kind of the human aspects of our veteran care.
We're speaking with Mandy Smoot, the patient, about the patient experience at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system on Minnesota Military Radio. Mandy, you mentioned measuring or gauging the veteran's patient experience. How do you solicit or get feedback from the veterans so that you know that from getting an appointment to getting in the door to going to the blood draws to going to the appointments so that they feel good about the entire experience? How do you measure that?
Yeah, so we have a number of ways. We have ways that we measure satisfaction, and we also have ways that we measure experience. So our measures, actually some of our most recent are what we call V-signals, and we send out surveys that are actually through a service called Medallia, which is similar to what you would see if you go and fly on an airplane and you get a text afterwards saying, how did we do? And our one key leading metric when it comes to our experience scores are trust. And so the first leading question we always ask everybody is, do you trust the Minneapolis VA to provide your care? And so that's the one thing that we're always looking at. And then below that, depending on what kind of interaction you had with us, we ask you a few different questions. We want to know, did we spend enough time with you? Did you feel heard and understood? Did we communicate clearly? So we identify what we call the moments that matter and in somebody's healthcare journey, and we judge ourselves based on those moments that matter through what the veterans tell us.
Mandy, in the VA healthcare system, the veteran is the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about customer satisfaction. In my business, we're trying to move to customer delight to service them better. How is your program assisting in providing a higher quality of care to our veterans?
So like I mentioned a little bit ago, is, you know, we have experience measures and we have satisfaction measures. And a lot of what we also measure in different surveys with things that we use a contract with, like Prescani, which is a tool that's used across healthcare organizations. But what we look at there is provider ratings. So because of all of these things, what do you think of your provider? Because of all of these things, what do you think of our hospital overall? And those metrics actually calculate into overall performance scores within our organization. So we take and we look at things like communication and care coordination, and we focus on those because it has a really high impact on their health care quality as well as just the experience. So people tend to think that we're kind of this fluffy office that's only looking at things that make you feel good. And really contrary, we deal with a lot of really tough things and have it relate over into their quality based on the experiences that they have.
Mandy, we've just got a couple of minutes left, but I'm wondering, how do you handle that feedback you get from the veterans? Do you share that with leadership? Is there a follow-up system put in place to take care of the experience so that it gets balanced out and as good as it can be?
Yeah, so we track and trend. We share in our medical center leaderships. We share in our executive leadership boards. Each of our service lines have access to all of their own information. Our advocates track and trend. So, yeah, we have a lot of info coming in, and we really try to just pay attention to what people are saying, but really to make it in an overarching pattern telling a story to share out with the rest of our staff so that we can make changes. And we have action plans that go along with each of those, as you would imagine.
Mandy, it seems to me you're sitting in an important chair where you're managing the patient experience, soliciting feedback, and in a position to make sure that our veterans are taken the best care of possible. Do you like your job?
I love my job. It's an honor to be here. It's kind of one of those dream jobs. So glad to be here and glad to be doing it.
All right. Any final thoughts for us, Mandy?
No. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, thank you for joining us today. That was Mandy Smoot, who is the Associate Director, Chief Experience Officer of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Jack Vesey Jr. chapter of the AUSA. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been joined today in the studio by my co-host, Jason Burley. And Jason, in a moment, we're going to hear about the Jack Vesey chapter of the AUSA. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner weekly update From the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
I'm honored to be with you this week as we prepare to celebrate Veterans Day around the state and nation. Veterans Day is truly a day to celebrate. Visit MinnesotaVeteran.org for more information. On Veterans Day, we celebrate the humble men and women who have understood the call of duty, the meaning of honor, and the values of this nation. They did not serve for glory or fame. They served to preserve our way of life. For this, we honor them as America's finest citizens. It is because of our veterans, who defended our country and embody its purpose and vision, that we continue to be a prosperous and free nation. To our veterans listening, on behalf of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, it is my honor to say thank you for your service and happy Veterans Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Jason, AUSA, the Association of the United States Army. Here in Minneapolis, we have the General Jack Vesey chapter. Are you ready to learn everything you ever wanted to know about AUSA?
Everything, and the best chapter in the nation.
Well, General Vesey was probably the best general officer the United States Army's ever seen, and we're blessed to have his chapter here. And we're joined now by Jocelyn Cookson, who's not only an AUSA member, but she is the chapter president. Jocelyn, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
Jocelyn, you've worked up through the chairs, it would seem, of the AUSA here, the Jack Vesey chapter, over a number of years. And is this your second term as president?
This is my second term as president. It's not atypical to do two terms as president, at least in the footsteps I followed. So,
have you had fun doing it?
It's been incredible. I've really been able to meet some amazing people and some experiences, like being on the radio for Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Well, I got two questions for you. First, what is the AUSA? And second, the namesake for this chapter, couldn't be a better guy.
Yeah, exactly. So AUSA, acronym for the Association of the United States Army, is a global organization, a nonprofit headquartered out of Washington, D.C. So there are 121 chapters worldwide. And our local chapter here, the General John W. Vesey Jr. chapter, encompasses most of Minnesota, western Wisconsin, northern Iowa, and part of the Dakotas. So a really big footprint, really kind of emulating that division, the unit, the 34th, trying to protect those or cover those active serving military members.
Now, your membership is made of not just of Army veterans, but veterans from all services.
Absolutely. So, we're providing support here locally is in a purple way. So we're looking to support any of the branches. But our membership encompasses civilians, DA, civilians, veterans, currently serving. But a huge portion of our membership is actually ROTC cadets. So we provide a lot of leadership opportunities and support for most of those programs located in the states I mentioned.
And I understand you provide a lot of information to your membership, both locally and nationally, about what's going on and some legislative pieces out in Washington.
Yes. So we meet on the first Wednesday of every month, and we do have a standing agenda item, which is a legislative update from Ben Johnson, but also a partner spotlight where we're able to provide connections for local military resource groups and veterans in need. This past year was interesting. The Minnesota National Guard was spotlighted with all their service. They were brought up to support some of the unrest in the streets this year, so we were able to support those efforts as well this year.
Over 100,000 man days to support the state mission. They had, they had a busy, busy year.
Yeah, so we were able to fulfill some requests and needs on that front.
That's an incredible amount of service. For those of us that don't know much about the AUSA, the chapter, the organization in whole, what kind of events do you host? What kind of efforts are you hosting in the community, and how can we help?
Awesome. So we have a few staple events, our holiday initiatives, the VA Poly Trauma Unit Holiday Party, where we provide gift bags to help those patients on that unit transition out of that unit and reintegrate back into the non-hospital setting. So that is a popular event, and we raise a lot of money for that. We also have our Toys for Military Kids program, which we'll talk a little bit more about. We host a golf outing, which provides a lot of fundraising for our leadership opportunities that we're giving to these ROTC cadets, and we send them out to D.C. for various events and running events, and then we also send them to the Bataan Memorial Death March in Arizona as well. So
The Bataan Memorial Death March is no joke, mm-hmm. and I appreciated your support when I was there participating in that, that's for sure. We talked a little bit about COVID's impact on your role over the last couple of years, but what's been the impact to the association?
You know, not being able to host some of the events that we've been able to fundraise has been difficult, but also that camaraderie, that monthly meeting that we had to host virtually for so long. You know, that we get about 40 or 50 people in the same room at noon on the first Wednesday of the month, and there's hands shaking and there's connections being made. So I think that was probably one of the biggest things that we've missed. And Zoom or Teams can do as much as it can, but that's about it. So we have started doing our meetings in person again. So anybody who wants to come.
Where are you holding those now?
We are at the Bloomington Legion, post 1296. And there's more information on our website. I'm happy to answer any emails or questions that people send us.
So they can come out and have a little lunch, then
yes.
Go to the meeting and talk about the events coming up. How'd your golf tournament do this year?
We did great. We had nearly a full course this year. Again, some slow goers coming back after COVID, but a great outing. I think our winning score was about 15 under, so it wasn't my team.
Yeah, well, we know a few things about a couple of golf tournaments, and they certainly are a lot of work. So, you know, hats off to you for putting that together. Tell me just a little bit more about you and your commitment to the association. I mean, as Tom alluded to at the front end, you know, start somewhere and have gone all the way through two terms as the chapter president. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so about 12 years ago, I started getting more involved. At the time, my ex-husband was serving, and so I started with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon in the Southwest Twin Cities and moved on to some FRG leadership and some other organizations and landed at AUSA. And really, the mission and the people here at the local chapter were what kept me going, and it's hard to say no when they're asking for, you know, more to step up. And then, like I said, the connections I've made and the people I've been able to work with and these programs are really incredible. I did not serve myself, and it's been a way for me to give back and to say thanks to, you know, those military members that did.
We're speaking with Jocelyn Cookson, the chapter president of the John Vesey Jr. chapter of the AUSA on Minnesota Military Radio. Jocelyn, I want to get in just a little bit deeper. What are the advantages to being a member of AUSA? And how can people get involved if they want to step up and be in there? I've been to your meetings, and there's quite a group of people in there from a lot of different organizations in town.
Yes, absolutely. We have a lot of information at our website, vesseychapter.org. And again, that first Wednesday of the month at noon every month is an opportunity to come. And if you've got something you'd like to share, there's always a place on the agenda for you to share. But there's contact information on our website. And in addition to the camaraderie, like I said, the connections, the education and information, there's also a lot of member benefits, discounts to national chains and travel discounts. There's a discount at Apple, I think 10%. So for some people, the membership is $10 for 2 years, but you can save $200 on your new iPad. So definitely worth it just for that.
Jason, well, you better get out there.
I'll get out there right away. Just to help out for those that are unaware, that's vesseychapter.org, V as in Victor, E-S-S-E-Y, chapter.org.
All right, and just to elaborate a little more on those meetings, I haven't been out there for a while due to the pandemic, but when I was out there, Annette Kuiper from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon was out there, and there were people from the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. There were people from all kinds of organizations and all kind of pulling together to help and coordinate their activities.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's so neat to have one place where, you know, there's some people that will tell you there's nothing that happens in the military resource community in Minnesota that isn't talked about in that room at that meeting or among those folks. So it's a great, great place as a, you know, if you're a veteran nonprofit and you're looking to support, reach us. If you're a veteran in need of resources for a number of different things, professional education or otherwise, let us know.
And Jocelyn, I thought it was important you've sent people to these national meetings and they come back and they've got fresh, up-to-date information on legislative activities.
It's incredible to know those issues. And I think we had an incredibly successful year last year in the session and everything. They kind of ran the gamut on the issues that veterans were in need of support and huge success on the Hill.
Jocelyn, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that holiday gathering that you do for the hospital and a program that you've partnered with called Toys for Military Kids. We're talking to Jocelyn Cookson from John Vesey Jr. chapter of the AUSA on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today has been Jason Burley, and our guest today has been Jocelyn Cookson, who is the chapter president of the John W. Vesey Jr. chapter of the AUSA, which stands for Association of the United States Army. And Jocelyn, you're coming into a fun, kind of busy fourth quarter of the year, coming into the holiday season. It's here.
It's here.
And you've got a hospital party you put on. Can you tell us about that quickly again?
Yeah, so this will be, I think, the 19th year of that VA polytrauma unit party. And unfortunately, due to the circumstances and COVID, our volunteers won't be able to come into the hospital for the party this year. But it's always a real intimate, nice setting for these patients on the unit, which maxes out at about 25 people. And, you know, they're generally in, you know, not their best place. So it's a nice way to bring some cheer to them at this time of year. And maybe they aren't able to see their family or maybe get to the store and buy some gifts. So there's some re-gifting from the gift bag that we give them. And then we also have some items that are meant for their reintegration and some of their therapies that they're going to do. So a deck of Uno cards or some audio books and things like that.
So some of your fundraising from all year long goes to this party, and also it's going to go to something else we're going to talk about in a minute.
Yes.
So for our listeners, so we don't run out of time, you're looking for members, you're looking for volunteers, you're looking for donations?
Exactly. So joining and your membership donations, we get a portion of that back to be able to give back to the veteran community, but also sponsorships, so corporate sponsors or community partners. We've got a tiered offering for sponsorship, and that comes with some recognition and some opportunities to be involved as well.
And Jason, they do some things for Christmas, and you know the title of it.
Yeah, it's a great program called Toys for Military Kids, which is commonly referred to as T4MK, which I think is a great tagline. You know, as a former Marine, Toys for Tots is pretty important to me, but there's not enough programs for toys for kids during the holidays. How does the program work?
So our new COVID protocol, last year we were successfully able to donate $100 gift cards to 60 families in need in Minnesota. The program has looked a little bit different in the past, but with the logistics and the unknowns, we're going to pivot that, and so that we are going to be able to provide the actual gift cards to families, and we're really excited about that. We also provide support to units, so unit holiday parties, which again, those have been paused during COVID, so we're not having as great of a need for that this year, but it's those individual families that we're able to serve. This particular year as well, we're going to have a toy shopping event and look for a registration link on the website by tomorrow afternoon, and that will be for families, parents to come in and shop for existing toys and be able to have something to put under the tree this year.
So is that the same way for families in need to register for toys?
Exactly.
In the same program?
VesseyChapter.org, and there'll be a page to send you where you need to go to register for that.
And for those of us that want to help support or volunteer or help out in the effort, how do we join you?
Again, right at VesseyChapter.org, contact us, and you can send an email to me.
Jocelyn, I understand that Toys for Military Kids is not part of the AUSA chapter, but it's someone you partner with, and there's been two men that have run that for nearly 20 years?
It's the 20th anniversary. So the program started by Les Hansen, just an incredibly generous man that had the idea of bringing some toys and giving them to the families of the soldier, and it's grown into what it is. So I think 12 years after he started that program, he moved to Arizona and started it down there and handed off the baton to Mike and Sandy Clark here in the Twin Cities, who've maintained for about 8 years and grown it to what it is today, which is, you know, over 3,500 kids on an annual basis receiving a toy from the chapter at their unit holiday parties.
So. And Mike's been on with us in the past, and we've heard these stories about his house filling up with toys all summer.
It does. It is. It's just exploding at the seams. Toys in every room. He has them sorted by age and gender, and he's packing, and he's getting the requests, and they have worked tirelessly for the benefit of military kids in the state of Minnesota.
So we're getting close to December. Are there a lot of requests for help this year?
Things look a little bit different than in the past, but yeah, we're getting the inbound requests. So we absolutely do have the need to provide that support. We're looking for, at this point, financial donations to put toward those gift cards.
Okay, and it's getting a little late, so if our listeners want to help Toys for Military Kids, they just go to your website?
Go to the website, and we have Venmo and Cash App options for sending donations, or we can take a check at our mailbox address online.
And your website again?
VesseyChapter.org.
VESEYChapter.org. That's V-E-S-S-E-Y, named after General Jack W. Vesey, who served in the United States Army for 46 years. I think he went from 01 to the four-star general.
Four-star, all the way through.
Man.
And he's a Minneapolis native.
He was, and we were fortunate to have him on the show some years ago, and a real gentleman and what a resource for the United States Army and for the state of Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Jocelyn, we only got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts about the VESEY chapter of the AUSA?
Yeah, absolutely. Please come check us out. Like I said, we have great opportunities to join as members or sponsor, and a lot of great programming that we're providing support then out to those military communities.
Jocelyn, I want to thank you for joining us today, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
That was Jocelyn Cookson, the chapter president of the John Vesey Jr. Chapter of the AUSA on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the senior enlisted leader for the Air National Guard in the state of Minnesota, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Lisa, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me today.
Lisa, you're in a new position. Congratulations for being the senior enlisted leader for the Minnesota Air National Guard.
Thank you so much. This is a dream job that I've always wanted, and so I'm very happy to be sitting in the seat that I'm in today.
And some of our listeners may remember that the last time you were on the show, you were the Command Chief Master Sergeant of the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth, and got a chance to apply for and moved into this new position. So now you get to do some business for both the 148th Fighter Wing and the 133rd Airlift Wing.
Absolutely. I have the distinct pleasure of working for both of the wings, and they're voiced at the table here at the Joint Force Headquarters.
And
I don't take that job lightly.
And you're working hand-in-hand with our State Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper.
Absolutely. I certainly am.
Well, he's given his spot to you today, and we want to talk about a few things. Can you tell me about Operation Allied Welcome?
That's right, Operation Allies Welcome. We've got a few of our airmen out supporting that. We've got some down in New Mexico and some out on the East Coast near New Jersey. Two of our maintenance chiefs, one from the 148th and one from the 133rd, both females, are out there leading the charge. They're considered mayors of their villages, and they're just doing wonderful work. And they say the absolute best part of the assignment is watching the children and just seeing how excited the kids are there and watching airmen interact with those children. So what a huge mission they're on. It's historical. They're glad to be a part of it. We're glad they were able to be a part of it. One of the chiefs, it's actually her last deployment before she'll step into retirement, and she's just feeling beyond blessed right now that she got the opportunity to do this.
And, Chief, we're all coming off of 18 months of the pandemic, and both the Army and Air National Guards have been asked by the state of Minnesota to help with things, and I'm sure that's going on yet with some testing and some enlisted or assisted living help.
Yes, we're continuing to do the rapid COVID testing, especially here in the metro area, but there's also some outstate areas. And recently, the governor asked us to help with some alternate care facilities. So I know they've stood one up in Shakopee. There's another one in Brainerd. And I believe there's another one that the Department of Health wants to, or the Minnesota Department of Health wants to stand up as well. So we have our enlisted and a few of our officer, our nurse corps, that are going there to help with that alternate care facility set up. Something new that we're doing.
Chief, for those that don't know much about you or your background, can you give us a little about your military experience? And then achieving the pinnacle of the ranks must be quite meaningful.
Well, absolutely. Happy to talk about myself a little bit. I was active duty prior to coming to the Guard. I was a little ESCO high school graduate in 1986. I grew up in ESCO, and I enlisted into the Air Force in about 1988, and that took me all across the country to Okinawa, Japan, and Washington State, and I came back to the great state of Minnesota and enlisted in the Minnesota Air National Guard. I have spent 32 years doing this. I've been in a multitude of career fields. I've been a jet engine mechanic. I've been a training manager, a personnel manager, a prime beef training manager, which is where you're helping all the civil engineering group learn all their trades. I've also been within the medical group, the recruiting supervisor, and finally, I'm hanging my hat in the wing command chief position at the 148th, and then I had the great opportunity to move to the state level. So that's where I sit today. It's taken 32 years for me to get here, but there's been plenty of support along the way with my coworkers, my bosses, Colonel Chris Blomquist at the 148th Fighter Wing, gave me his blessing to apply for this job, and it was very bittersweet to step away from that role at the wing because you get to do so much with the airmen. But it's my turn now to step to the state level and impact both wings and help bring them into this next century. And, you know, these are trying times right now to be a leader, and so it just takes great resiliency, and I've got a team behind me that helps with that daily. And we're going to do this. We're going to take this group of airmen and soldiers into the next next century here.
Chief, I was listening to that list of jobs, and my mind is getting boggled. It just boggled with all the AFSCs for these Army guys. It's MOS, but you must have had a pile of them.
I did. I think I had six. I think I'll end my career with six different AFSCs, Air Force Specialty Codes for the Army. Yes.
Well, as a former Marine, I loved Kadena Air Base's mess facility. I would run over there on purpose. If you think about the advancements of the Air Force, I mean, I think of women in the Air Force in some really incredible roles. What do you attribute that to, and why is the Air Force moving so quickly?
I just think that we put the right people in the right places at the right time. You know, we look at people for what they can bring to the table, and we're able to promote them and offer them broadening opportunities. So the Air Force does a great job at that, and we've been able to capitalize on a lot of things within both wings for that, putting the right people in the right positions. We just think a little bit smarter. I won't say that. The Army Guard does a lot of things very, very good, but we just, you know, we look at the person and we try and match them into the right position.
Chief, I think he set you up there, but we're trying to let our listeners know that the Air National Guard does a great job in addition to the Army National Guard that we talk about all the time.
Yes.
Chief, I want to wish you well on your new position, and make sure you take great care of all those airmen at the 148th and 133rd.
I absolutely will, Tom. Thank you for the time today, and have a great day.
Thank you. That was the senior enlisted leader for the Minnesota Air National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Mandy Smoot, Rachel Hammer, Jocelyn Cookson, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson, my co-host Jason Burley, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minnesota National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing and get an update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.